Have a seat, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Well, because of the way the service is going today, which is great and exciting, my message is going to be brief, so you're welcome. Yeah. Oh, man, I lost my place. Yeah, that's true. We could pray till 3:30, Ron, until the Super Bowl starts, right? I just want to mention just a few things before I start my brief message. First off, just want to say happy birthday to Harold. It's his birthday today, and also Elizabeth Richardson, who's not here. So please make sure you wish them a happy birthday today. And where is Harold? Is Harold here? There he's hiding. He's hiding. Just let's give Harold a hand. He's sitting over there. And conveniently, he's sitting beside his daughter, Taylor, who I wanted to mention as well. Taylor helped put in a lot of hours and a team of people. But Taylor in particular put a lot of hours putting the photo directories together. So I just want to thank you as well, Taylor, for all the work you put into that. And just a couple of housekeeping things. Some of us were talking about how to create some better flow in our services. One of the issues that some of us have is that it's a little bit of a distraction for people to be coming, walking in the service late, sometimes halfway through the service, sometimes 5 minutes through the service or whatever. So we just want to encourage you, remind you to, as much as it depends on you, if you could do your best to get into the service on time. Unless you're having some meaningful, mind-blowing, deep conversation with someone in the foyer, that's cool. But as much as it does depend on you, we would encourage you to be in the service on time. And also, if for those who are sitting in the foyer throughout the service, we would encourage you to come in as well and not hang out in the foyer and just join the rest of us. I also want to remind you of our really important ministry that happens on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock in room 309, and that's our prayer ministry. We strongly believe that prayer should be a very foundational part of our church, and if you can make it out to that, we would love for you to be at that. So today, we are continuing, continuing in our Ask Anything series. I'm going to answer three questions, and two of those questions I'm going to answer as I talk about vision, because I want to talk about vision today, and two of the questions line up well with what I want to talk about with vision, so there'll be some overlap. So, without further ado, actually, let me pray first, and then I'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for today. It's exciting when we see parents wanting to dedicate their children. It's exciting when we see people publicly profess you as their Lord through baptism, Lord. And it's exciting, Lord, when we see people saying, hey, I want to become part of the team and become a member of Grace Church here. And Lord, we're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for all we're doing. We just pray that you'd be with us now as we move into a couple Ask Anything questions and talk about vision, that you'd be with us and share with us what you want us to hear. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So the first question in our Ask Anything series for today is, what is worship? What is worship? Now, whenever we think of worship, a lot of people automatically think of the singing portion in our service. And some people think of maybe hand raising or whatever. I've had this video link in my notes for about over a year, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for the perfect time to show this video, and I think this is it. So I'm just going to direct your attention to the screen behind me as Tim Hawkins gives us some insight on hand raising.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you can go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five, press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown.
Well, there you go. That was actually compliments of Tony Richardson. He sent it to me about a year ago, I think. And I saved it, and hey, this was a fun service to do it in. Anyways, that was just for fun. That was just for fun. I hope you don't mind. Now, one of the many ways we worship God is through singing and you know, expressing ourselves and singing and worship during a service. But that's not the only way we worship God. Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines worship as reverent devotion, an allegiance pledged to God. The rituals or ceremonies by which this reverence is expressed. So anyways, Nelson's Bible Dictionary is just referring to the public side of worship. And in our public worship services, like we're having today, there's certain ingredients or segments that is all part of worship. And that would include prayers, singing songs, the teaching part, giving, communion, which all play a part in public worship. Just a few verses that give us reference to that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And again, in Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think worship is not just a public thing we do together, but it's also something we do privately. And so I think worship is also when someone simply and willingly acknowledges God's role as Lord over their lives. And so this should result in an attitude of adoration, praise and thanksgiving. It should result in reverence, awe, and obedience, ironically, to what he has asked of us. So ironically, when you obey God, you're actually worshiping God. 1 John 5:3 says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So that's question number one. The next two questions I'm going to answer as we talk about vision, but I'm just going to ask them right now. The second question is this: how strong does my relationship with Christ have to be? And the third question is, why don't Christians understand that each one of us has different gifts in Christ to offer? And now I'll go ahead and answer those questions while I talk about some vision, as there's some overlap there. So I just want to, since we have a service like this, I do want to remind you as where we're at as a church, and maybe there's some people in our church who are new, who've never heard this before, our vision, and maybe there's some in our church who have forgotten what it is. So I just want to briefly just summarize where we're at. Again, our vision is to love people to passionately follow Jesus, or loving people to passionately follow Jesus. And this overlaps with the second question: how strong does my relationship with Christ have to be? Well, consider Jesus' words. Jesus said a lot of very strong statements in the Bible. And he says this in Matthew 10:37. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Jesus continues in Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And so, one of the things I love about Jesus is that he does not beat around the bush. He's very clear. God clearly needs to be definitively number one in your life if you're asking how strong is my relationship in God need to be. And so I think once you make that decision, once God has become number one in your life, I think you have, at some point in your life, you have to make that private commitment public. And that's the main reason why we do baptisms, is because you're officially telling the world, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus. You're making a private commitment public, and we need to do that. I also appreciate those who make commitments to the Lord in other ways by dedicating their children this morning, and those who are going to stand with me in a few moments and be welcomed in as members at Grace Church. Now, some people, for whatever reason, they wait until they got it all together before they come to Christ. They wait till they have all the answers, they got it all together. But we need to remember the opposite is true. You come to God first, and then he fixes you. You don't clean yourself up first and then come to God. You go to God, and he cleans you up. And so there's that balance you need to remember, that once you make a decision to follow Christ, you depend on his Spirit to develop you and strengthen you and mature you. Well, what are some basic ways that we can grow in our walk with the Lord? What are some simple main ingredients? Well, if you want to grow in your Lord, the basic foundational blocks is one, regular interaction with God's Word. Number two, spending time with prayer, spending time with the Lord in prayer. And three, making sure you're in regular fellowship with other believers. And those are basic foundational ingredients, I believe, when it comes to growing in your walk with the Lord. So again, our vision is to love people, to passionately follow Jesus, and we have four areas of focus that we're working with. And the first area of focus is to grow in God's Word. And so we believe the Bible to be the inspired Word of God, and as a church, we want to teach it. We want to learn it. We want to love it. We want to memorize it. We want to share it. We want to display it. We want to honor it, apply it, and obey it. And that's why presently what we're doing to meet this goal, this area of focus, is right now we're hosting Walk Through the Bible at the end of February, and we'd encourage you to come out if you can make it. And also we are doing a Bible memorization challenge for the church. Memorize 20 wings by Easter-ish, and you get, or no, memorize 20 verses. My mind is always on the wings, you know. Memorize 20 verses by Easter, and then you get 20 wings or lunch of your choice, and you can, if you want more details, see Diana or Jake and Claire in the foyer. The second area of focus is getting connected. We want to see our people at Grace Church getting connected. And I believe that God's made us to be relational people, even the shy among us, believe it or not. God calls us to share life with each other, to help each other out, to love each other. And that's why we have a variety of ministries throughout the year that help us better connect with each other, encouraging people to grow in their walk with each other. Now, for example, Norlin is organizing the Family Day next Monday, which we very much appreciate, and that's in line with our vision, our goal to see families and individuals better connect with each other. So if you're always off on your own, hey, I want to encourage you to break out of your bubble and just go connect with the church family here. Our third area of focus is we want to see our people at Grace Church to get involved, to serve somewhere. And this goes very well with the third question that was asked for today. Why don't Christians understand that each of us has different gifts in Christ to offer? Well, I'm glad you answered that. I'm going to kind of answer it. Well, I will answer it here. Some may or may not understand that Christians have different gifts, but sometimes, you know, we forget, and it's good to be reminded of that. And so it's good to be reminded where it says in the Bible, Romans 12, verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And so it's a biblical principle that God has gifted us all in different ways. We know that. And at Grace Church, we want you to serve in a place where you're gifted, where you're passionate about, where you're interested in. And we don't want to put you in a place where you're not gifted. And we believe that as you do serve in a place where you're gifted, everyone's going to be blessed. In fact, at a recent membership meeting, Harold was talking to our new members, and he encouraged our new members to find a place to serve, to find a place where God has gifted them. Because the more people that we have serving, the more we will grow, and the more we will all be blessed as an individual, as a church community, and even we'll be blessing our church, our Abbotsford community as well. The last area of focus, the fourth area of focus, is we want to share God's story. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28, verse 19. And so it's encouraging to hear, when families, are inviting friends and families out to church. I see some new faces here this morning. And even at our recent Christmas make, we had lots of people invite their neighbors, their friends, their family out. And that's an encouraging thing to see our people doing. It's also great to know that we're a church that supports missions. And so it was mentioned this morning through Dave that we're going to be, starting next Sunday, we're going to be doing a four-week missions, faith, and life class to learn how to better support our missionaries. And that'll take place again next Sunday before the service in the youth room, a four-week class if you're interested in attending. Well, that being said now, I'd like to invite those who are becoming members, Jake and Claire and Steve Croker and Eve Mirwanski, if you would join me on the stage. And I'm going to have them bring their testimony and share it with us. I'm going to get the handheld mic over here. And we're going to start with Eve. I'm going to turn this on, if that's okay. I'm going to get them to share their testimony, and after they're all done sharing their testimony, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, so you can go ahead and...
Good morning. My name is Eve Mirwanski. Some of you may...
Want me to hold it for you?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Anyway, my name is Eve Mirwanski. Some of you may remember me from a few years ago when we attended here.
Here, I'll hold it for you.
Thank you. I grew up in Saskatchewan in a small Mennonite village called Nuanmug. My parents, Helena and Jacob Fair, were old colonist Mennonites. They allowed us to attend the Mennonite Conference Church in the village, as it offered Sunday school, choir, Bible hour on Wednesday nights, and Bible school in the summer. Growing up, it was a very good and complicated life. I was baptized in August of 1968, the same year I married Ernie Nuransky. We were blessed with two children. When the boys were small, we were transferred to Lloydminster, Alberta. There was no Mennonite-affiliated church there, so we attended First Lutheran. It was there that my sons accepted Christ as their Savior at the time of their confirmation. My husband passed away when our first grandchild, Molly, was 7 months old. I'm so nervous, in case you haven't noticed that. She is now 17, and I am now blessed with four grandchildren. There was never a time that I remember that I did not know and love Jesus. Growing up, we sang a lot in our home, always hymns, always about what a great God we had, about how much the Lord loved us. I received Jesus as my personal Savior as a young adult. I was by myself watching Billy Graham on my knees before my Lord. I took that altar call. Okay, so I shared that with Gary Voss one time. That's the only person I think till now that I've ever shared that with. I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross and that his blood cleanses me. I believe that when I repent of my sins and turn away from them, that he forgives me. Every day, his grace amazes me. I rest in his mercy and faithfulness. He is the peace in my soul. He is my strength. Deuteronomy 7:9-31. He will never leave us or forsake us. We only need to trust him and serve him. Every day, I reach for his guidance. Thank you, Grace Church.
Awesome. Thank you. Can you come to her today?
I've got it in case I forget it. Thank you. I grew up in a Christian home knowing that Christ was the only God and the person that we could go to for anything and everything. I knew that we could go to my parents for help with that. I spent most of my time going, or every Sunday going to church with my parents. My brain is forgetting. There you go. All right, thank you. But still, I fell away from my faith a few times. The earliest time I can remember asking Christ into my heart was when I was 12, and then again when I was 15. But in grade 12, I lost my faith completely because of a few boyfriends that I had. I went to Bible college and started to gain it slowly back then. That was 10 years ago. Then I met Jake, and all of my questions were answered. He seemed to have all of the answers for me. I was baptized in June of this last year, and I was very thankful I was, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without Jake's help and my parents' support. A Bible verse that has gotten me through a lot of my hardships is Psalms 18:2, which is, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. God is my rock, in whom I trust, or whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold."
I was born in Mexico into an old colony family, a family of 10. Growing up at home, Christian faith wasn't taught to me. We were taught that there was a God, an angry God. He was very hard to please and was rarely happy about his children here on earth. He lived in heaven but didn't really care about us. I was taught that salvation was obtained by good works. If you did good enough works, then just maybe God will let you into heaven. We couldn't know if we were saved here on earth. We would know if we were saved after we died. In my early teenage years, I did many things that weren't right. One of them was the habit of alcohol. I was 14 when I came home drunk. I was in this habit until I was 18, and I realized that what I was doing was wrong and needed to change. I started to go to an evangelical church where I had been invited to go to many times but refused to do so. After going to this church, it still took me several years to come to Christ. I lived in Mexico until I was 21 years old. When I came to Canada in 2006, I was excited what I would experience, what I would do or see. I did experience many things. I did some exciting things and saw some great things that Canada had to offer. But I never knew that I would find Christ in Canada. I was in for a surprise when, with my poor English back then, I began to understand what it really was to believe in Christ. Salvation wasn't obtained by good works, or God was there, but out of reach, so to speak. I began to understand that He loved me, which I didn't understand before. Sorry, I'm really nervous. I began to understand that He loved me, which I didn't understand before. It amazed me. How could God love a sinner like me? I began to understand that only believing in Christ Jesus, I could obtain salvation. Shortly after I understood these things, I accepted Christ as my Savior by believing that He died on the cross for my sins and resurrected after to conquer death so that we may have life. Ever since then, I've been wanting to grow in Christ and experience His presence and joy that only He can give me through serving Him in our everyday living. And He has given me many blessings after I became His child. One of them is my wife, who God prepared for me even before I was born, and I thank God for her. In my walk with Christ, there are ups and downs, struggles with faith, doubts, and difficult times. But only through Christ I can overcome all these things. One Bible verse that I really take to heart is Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
So my name is Steve Croker, and I was born... And that was exciting. And I grew up in Abbotsford, BC, here in beautiful British Columbia, in the loving care of wonderful Christian parents. I accepted Jesus at a very young age, and I grew up attending Central Heights Mennonite Brethren Church, where I was baptized upon the confession of my faith. I met my wife, Carla, at Northview Church, and we were married in 2003, and we have an 8-year-old son named Levi. There's three significant things that have happened in my life that have profoundly affected my walk with Jesus. The first thing is when I was attending a youth event at Central Heights when I was about 13 years old, I really don't remember what was said in the youth rally that night, but what I do remember was how truly touched I was and began to weep with a great sense of the realness of God. This was a turning point in my life where I did what many children who grow up in the church need to do at some point, and that is to truly make my Christian faith my own. I now believe that this was the Holy Spirit guiding my life and drawing me to Him. The second thing that happened that helped me grow in my relationship with Jesus and discover more about who He is and who I am in Him is actually a handful of small events. I would describe these as significant troubles. Some of the most challenging times I've battled with depression and OCD, which became very significant in the 1990s. It was during these times when I discovered that my security in Christ is not based on my feeling, but rather the truth. And I began to realize I do have a rock and an anchor in Jesus who gives me a peace that passes understanding even when I don't feel it. More recently, my family and I have gone through a series of extremely challenging times, far too many for me to cover in the scope of this testimony. But probably one of the most significant challenges has been struggling through life with my wife, who has unwittingly been battling undiagnosed autism spectrum disorder. She was only recently diagnosed, and this has brought a great deal of light to the many struggles that we have faced. It has been during these times when our faith has been tested, and we have found that the grace of Jesus truly is sufficient for us. It has been a true joy to discover the faithfulness of Jesus during these times. Lastly, a significant thing that has changed or that has had an effect on my walk with Christ is simply reading the Bible. A number of years back, I just decided I'm gonna read through the Bible, and then I did, and then I said I'm gonna do it again, and I did it again, and again, and again, and. If you have not read through the Bible, and especially if you're young, I just want to encourage you. Sorry, I'm preaching now. It will change your life. You cannot faithfully read Scripture without having it change your life. And if I could do one thing over again, I would talk to my young teenage self and I would say, you read that thing through over and over. Do it. It will change your life. Please. Sorry, I'm just really passionate about that. A couple of meaning, it's so simple though, right? It has a profound effect. It's powerful. A couple of verses that have been meaningful passages for me are Zechariah 4:6, which says, "So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." And here's the key part. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And a verse that's been a great comfort to me in life has been Philippians 1:6, which says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus."
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I'm going to make a couple comments, but before I do that, I need to change. Just really briefly here. It's the Super Bowl today. I'm pretty excited about that. And I enjoy watching the NFL, and my favorite team is the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm going to put on the Indianapolis Colts jersey. They made it to the semifinals, made it pretty far. If the balls weren't deflated, they would have made it. Yeah. And I found these hats in my office just this past week. They're Grace Church hats with the Grace Church logo on them. With me having all this stuff on right now, I'm going to make a couple comments. So when people follow a sport, they typically pick a team to root for. They pick a team to cheer for.
And, you know, they seem to commit through thick and thin. I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan, and a couple years ago when Peyton Manning got injured, oh, they had the worst season in a long, long time. But I was proud to say, hey, I'm a Colts fan through thick and thin. And when you become a member here at Grace, I think you're just saying in a simple way that you're saying, hey, I'm part of the team. I'm putting the jersey on. I'm putting the hat on. And you guys get to have a free hat today. Sweet deal, eh? And so, you know, I think there's a lot of things that require a certain measure of commitment in life, and I think a commitment to a local body of believers shouldn't be any different. And so that's what we're basically saying today. And so I'd like to just continue on with our time here by just asking you two simple questions. And if you guys could say yes to these questions, that would be great. So the first question is this, having already come to faith in Christ and being baptized, do you reaffirm today Jesus as your Lord and Savior with the understanding that he died on the cross for your sins and then he rose again 3 days later?
Yes.
And is it your intention to contribute towards the work of the kingdom of God by becoming members of Grace Church and supporting it and its people?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, on behalf of Grace Church, it's my joy and privilege then to welcome you into membership here at Grace Church. Let's give these guys a hand. I'll give you a certificate and a hat. There you go. Put it to good use. And I have Claire and a hat. Jacob. A hat.
Thank you.
Congratulations, bro.
Thank you.
And Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. And if we could just come together and look at Nick really quickly. Awesome. And just stay up here for a second. I'm going to ask Henry Esau, the chair of the board, to come and pray for us. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come back while Henry's coming up, just to close in a word of prayer. Yep, grab this mic over here.
As a symbol of your support for these new members, I'm going to ask you to stand as I pray. Our Father, we are grateful that you do love us, and we've been reminded of that many times, even today, and we can't understand why, but you do. And this morning, Lord, I thank you for bringing Grace Church together here, and Father, we want to work together as a representative of your larger church in this world. And we thank you for these four who have made that commitment to be part of this group and to work together to serve Jesus Christ and to encourage each other, Lord. And so I commit each of them to you and trust you to guide and bless in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And just before we go into our next song, I just want to remind you that we have a prayer team that is set up every Sunday, and they are over here to my right, your left. And if you have any prayer need this morning, if you want to pray with someone before you go, they'd be happy to pray with you. You're welcome to come up at the end of the service or even while the last song is playing. Members, you're good to go back to your seats. Steve, off to you.